County 911. What is the address of the emergency?
The story is true.
Summit County Justice Files.
And the stories are all true on the Summit County Justice Files. Welcome. It's your weekly dose of law and order, Summit County style, brought to you by Crystal 93 and the Summit County Sheriff's Office. I'm Tom Fricke from Crystal 93 here with Summit County Sheriff Jamie Fitzsimons, and we're here to inform and educate and engage with our community.
Yeah, now before we get started, just a quick disclaimer. The Justice Files exclude some of the more serious and sensitive offenses, as well as ongoing investigations that could jeopardize prosecution. And of course, everyone accused of a crime is presumed innocent until proven guilty in a court of law.
Crime may not pay, but it sure makes for some interesting stories. So buckle up as we dive into the latest criminal activity, the lessons learned, and yes, more than just a few minutes of law enforcement levity, because while justice is serious business, a little humor never hurt anyone. Unless, of course, it was a crime of bad jokes. Let's get into it. Starting out with aggressive dogs, an animal control officer met with a man who was seeking treatment for his dog after it was attacked by two large dogs while out for a walk. The man explained that a couple approaching him had four dogs on leashes, but as they got closer, two of the dogs broke free and attacked his dog.
Have you ever seen these, like, dog walkers with
multiple dogs?
With 20 dogs?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
That's how when I read this, I thought, it sounds like one of those dog walking things where there's all these dogs and you think, how can that person control that many dogs
right.
at the same time going different directions?
Yeah.
Well, you know, the animal control officer searched for, like, over an hour for these dogs that had attacked him and couldn't find him. And luckily, the guy that had the attacking, sounds like the Dobermans. Remember the Doberman
right.
gang?
Yeah.
That had the attacking dogs called animal control and kind of turned himself in and gave his information. And the animal control officer did issue him a summons for the aggressive dogs. And then the guy agreed to pay the other guy's veterinary bill. So all good. But it's interesting that we've talked about these more and more about these aggressive dogs out there, whether on leash or off leash. Usually the conflict is when someone has one set of dogs on a leash and one set of dogs off a leash.
Right.
But here we are with both dogs on leashes attacking each other. A little too close. It's one of those, is your dog friendly? Do you mind if I let it say hello to your dogs?
Right.
And you're like, please don't come too close. And then it's too late.
Does your dog bite? I thought you said your dog doesn't bite.
Not my dog.
Oh. I've got this little dog that has big dog syndrome.
Yeah.
And people with big dogs are always like, oh, my dog's really friendly. Can it say hello to yours? And I'm like,
right.
My dog's like 7 pounds. Are you kidding me?
Chihuahuas are the worst. Man, those things, they're so cute and cuddly, God, they're vicious.
Oh, my.
Absolutely vicious for little dogs.
Oh, God.
And let's talk about a local homeowner who reported that someone had turned on the water spigot on the side of his home while he was out of town, and we do have some audio on this incident.
We had, like, maybe some vandalism, like, a week ago where someone had left our outdoor faucet on. We're trying to sell the property, and so I'm not up there, and so I don't have eyes on it. I do have cameras, because I'm responsible for this building. If someone's vandalizing it, I probably need to start the paper trail.
And what did they do to your yard again?
So they, the outside water faucet was turned on and a trickle. So I had a big ice pyramid underneath it, and possibly it could have gotten back into the house, but I hadn't spotted it. Luckily, we made a trip up there during the week, and I found it, some good pictures of it and everything. But it was definitely turned on. It wasn't like a leak. It was actually flowing.
Are you at the? You're not at the property now.
No, I've.
Okay. All right, I will make sure they know that, and so they'll just give you a phone call, okay?
Outstanding. Thanks. Have a great day.
You too. Bye.
Somebody wanting to build their own ice castles, inspired by Silverthorn. Let's turn the water on and see what happens.
It's funny you thought of ice castles. I thought, hey, the guy came home and found the neighborhood kids skating on a pond in
right.
between the two homes. And went, wait a minute, I'm paying for that pond.
So what's the story on this one?
So this is the old story here in the high country where snow falls off roofs and sometimes breaks gas meters, sometimes turns on water spigots. It was interesting. This guy said he had cameras and he wanted to go after these people for vandalism. It's like, if you have cameras, did you see anybody on the camera? So there was obviously no proof in the snow, no proof anywhere that anyone had done this. But there was icicles hanging down from the roof at the time of the investigation, and it was easy to determine that probably they fell off the roof and turned on the water. Just hit it just right.
Just enough to
hit off the walls of the house
bit.
And just it just needed a little trickle.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but there's an ice skating pond there now.
All right. Excellent. And the beginning, the foundation of some ice castles, perhaps.
Yeah, you know, especially with the drip drip. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's how they do them.
That's it, exactly.
That's how they do it.
Yeah.
It's pretty crazy.
Let's talk about this lost dog. A dog that went missing from his home in Montezuma while under the care of a dog sitter in December was recently spotted on a neighbor's security camera. The neighbor observed the dog sitting on her porch and reported it to animal control officers. They then contacted Summit Lost Pet Rescue, who had been searching for the missing dog.
Yeah, you know, we've talked about Summit Lost Pet Rescue in the past, you and I.
Uh-huh.
They do some awesome things here in Summit County and have an incredible success rate in finding lost dogs. We've had dogs that have gotten thrown out of cars in car accidents. We've had dogs that have wandered away like this. This dog was missing for 43 days.
Oh, wow.
Isn't that crazy?
Around the Montezuma area?
Yes.
Holy cow.
Isn't that something? So
that's
they
amazing.
Set up a live trap for it once it was spotted, you know, this neighbor that called in. And they successfully caught the dog and was able to find the owner. And the owner was obviously happy and shocked that it had been, you know, over a month, 6 weeks since he had seen his dog, and feared the worst. You know, we have wolves now.
Right.
So feared the worst that maybe something happened to him. But
ran off with a pack of wolves.
One more time, Summit Lost Pet Rescue found them. You know, what an incredible organization, nonprofit organization they are.
So this dog was spotted on a neighbor's security camera, and it just reminds me of the story that I heard about how Ring cameras are now being used to track lost dogs.
Oh.
So they're being activated anytime an animal walks by a Ring camera, and if it matches the profile of a dog that's been reported missing lost, so now Ring cameras are getting into the action of finding missed pets.
Everything is under surveillance. How many times have we said that, Tom?
Everything
is under surveillance. Yeah, I heard that same story when they came out, and then they clarified saying you have to opt in, though.
Oh.
Like
yeah,
if you're a Ring camera owner, you got to opt into this pet rescue thing.
They can't just take your camera over and start looking for dogs.
I guess we can add those to animal control and let them start looking for dogs.
There you go.
Put dash cams on the animal control trucks that look for lost dogs and cats.
And have the facial recognition all programmed in to find these lost dogs.
You just upload the photo of Spot.
We laugh about it now. Just wait.
There's some dog owners out there, Tom, that don't think we're funny.
No, not at all.
I know.
They're not amused.
Levity. That's what we talk about on this podcast, right? We're just trying to add a little levity to the serious stuff.
Let's talk about the deputies who received multiple reports of a man sleeping in his vehicle in Dillon Valley. One caller suspected there was drug activity going on. And we have audio from this as well.
I've gotten multiple reports over the past week or so from some homeowners of an individual sleeping in his car in our parking lot, and homeowners are saying he's got kind of an odd situation going on. I haven't really witnessed this individual or car prior to right this second, and so I'd like to make a report. I'm trying not to get into an altercation with this guy, so I'm trying to keep a little distance, but looks like he's got this silverish, I think it's a Ford. Looks like it's running right now, and the last little helpful tip is he's parked pretty much at the end of the parking lot by the dumpster.
So you've been here before?
That's what this homeowner has reported to me, and then sent me an email this morning, and I ran over here to try to kind of catch him in the act. So I think I can't make a report if he's not there.
Any drugs or alcohol involved?
Not that I know of.
Okay.
But I would be interested because
what?
When he was parked out back at the clubhouse, and I was kind of keeping my eye on him, not knowing if this was the same person, which it looks like it is, there was a car or two that kind of came in passing to, like, say hi to him. I mean, I don't know if it was a drug deal or not, but it did look shady, which is why this homeowner has been reporting this. But I have no clue.
I was curious what you meant by there was kind of a weird situation going on. So you're expecting possibly a drug deal?
Would you know that from experience?
We're sending a deputy your way, and they will be giving you a call if you wouldn't mind answering all the questions.
Multiple reports.
Oh, sounds like a consistent violator.
Yeah.
What's interesting about this is there's a lot of things interesting about this.
Where do you start?
The guy that's calling in is responsible for, you know, for the property.
Yeah.
Property management. And it turns out the deputies did find this suspicious person. And it turns out that someone that actually lives there and was just sleeping in their car. It's like, how do you not know that? And even the guy that called in says, you know, I've seen the car a couple of times.
Right.
Well, yeah, because he lives there.
The
guy just was sleeping in his car.
No drug activity.
No drug activity. The guy just chose to sleep in his car. He said he was locked out of his unit and he was waiting for someone to let him in. And I'm just like, how do your neighbors not know you?
Right. Well, that's the state of society these days.
You know,
that you just don't. Nobody knows
the buried in your phone or whatever, and you don't talk to anybody. And everybody's suspicious.
Oh yeah,
and everybody's dealing drugs.
You know them mountain people. They're all on drugs.
Oh, they're crazy. Let's talk about this man who reported his roommate for tampering with his Ring camera.
Ring! There's the Ring camera again.
He installed it.
He was looking
for dogs. Yeah, right. So apparently he put the Ring camera in after he accidentally hit his roommate's car in their parking lot. And the roommate accused him of doing it on purpose, so he installed a camera.
Now, right there. That makes so much sense. Sense, right?
Well, since then, the man reports that the roommate has stolen multiple items from the common area in the unit and has twice placed tape over the camera lens and removed the battery. And there is some body cam audio on this instant.
Maybe we'll get some clarity.
Maybe.
Like, my car has been tampered with. Like, he's stolen the battery out of it before. I had to get a new one. And I'm like,
okay.
I just keep asking him not to do it, and he just keeps fucking destroying my property and stealing it, honestly.
Happened recently.
The only thing that's happened is he keeps dropping stuff on his floor, and I live underneath him. And he's been waking me up at 1:30 a.m. and 5 a.m. Pretty consistently for about 2 months. We saw him once and asked him to stop.
Like, stop making noise at late at night?
He's intentionally dropping stuff incredibly heavy on the floor to wake us up.
Okay.
And that's it. I haven't touched any of his stuff. It's taken a lot of willpower because it's incredibly frustrating to wake up at 1:30 a.m. and lose sleep.
Sure, absolutely.
I'm going to school and I'm working full time. Every time, it's so incredibly loud that it scares the crap out of me, and I can't fall asleep for at least an hour.
Okay, yeah, I mean, I would say that's probably, you know, a little more than frustrating, right? What's going on between you and him with the Ring camera?
I'm not sure.
Come on, man.
I asked him if he could not record. We asked for him for access. And he didn't give it to us. And I don't know.
Okay.
I put tape on her this morning because I feel violated. My privacy feels violated. And, like, if I have access, sure, go ahead and leave it up. But he's the only one with access. And when he hit my car, all the footage is on there, and he still wouldn't give it to us. But yet he can just sit there and spy on everyone.
Did you put tape on the cameraman?
Surveillance again.
All this stuff going on between you and him waking you up at night? Like, is that why you're doing that?
That's it. I did it once.
Okay.
And I'm frustrated, and I'm not going to, like, destroy his property.
I'm just gonna make it inoperable. I'm not gonna destroy it.
He only feels violated because he doesn't have access.
Yeah.
If he had access,
I'd be fine.
I'd be fine.
Okay. Yeah. Everybody can watch it now.
Oh my gosh.
Holy cow.
Yeah. So he ended up getting a summons for tampering with his roommate's camera. And there was no dogs on the Ring camera. They didn't find any. No, but I mean, this is the kind of stuff that people call law enforcement for. These are big problems in people's lives.
Oh, absolutely.
You know what I mean? I mean, these are big problems, roommate problems.
There's so much going on in the world, but...
And now that law enforcement has been there, now that deputies have been there, now it's going to be fine. We probably will never go back to this place again.
It's all good. Everybody's living happily ever after.
We are all living happily ever, as the world turns. That's it. Got a summons. Okay. Go to court for it.
Just a summons.
You think that maybe they would each or go their separate ways and find a different place to live? I sometimes I just wonder what interference, or I should, what by law enforcement intervening, like, what is the point to the exercise?
Right.
Like, we're not going to solve it. The ticket's not going to solve it. The only thing that's going to solve this problem is one of them move.
And I'm sure there'll be an incident when that happens.
Yes, I'm sure, especially if it's all caught on Ring camera.
Yeah, we'll talk about it here on the Justice Files.
We will talk about it.
Let's talk about this assault. A neighbor in unincorporated Breckenridge called for help when an unknown man came to his door asking for help after getting assaulted by his friend. The man left the unit to de-escalate the situation and began knocking on neighbors' doors to get help. He was bloody and wearing only one shoe when deputies arrived, and we have some audio.
Summit County 911, what is the address of the emergency?
Sorry, it's an Airbnb. I don't have the exact address. I had a stranger approach me just saying that he's been assaulted by just a fellow roommate. He doesn't feel safe at his own cabin right now. He's at a separate cabin, but I think we are the closest cabin to him.
Do you know who the suspect is?
No. Can I pass you to the witness? Are you comfortable speaking to him?
Yes, sir.
Okay. He doesn't have a cell phone now, so I'm going to...
Okay. But yeah, he was really intoxicated. I tried getting him to bed. I tried getting him to get better. And he just confused me with somebody else. And he just gave me a sucker punch, assaulted me. I held him down to try to de-escalate things. And I did successfully, but I tried removing myself from the incident.
Are you injured at all?
No, it's just a busted lip, man.
So what happened, man?
So basically, we're on vacation, came over, he got intoxicated, he was by himself. Okay. I mean, we all have plans for tomorrow.
Sure.
And I was trying to be a good person. I went up to him, I was trying to keep him company, be like, hey, it's time to go to sleep, it's time for bed, it's getting pretty late, and you're really, really intoxicated.
Yeah.
And he started confusing me with names, even though he knows me well.
Okay.
So he started be calling me Alex, he started calling me like Alexander, he started calling me Evan. Like,
it's nonsensical.
And literally, after I told him that, he was like, stop disrespecting me, yada, 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 and then he just sucker punched me.
Okay. And he started, he got on me. I managed to hold him down. Okay. I didn't want to go to the extreme having it under my own hand, so I just held him down, held him down for a little bit, and then once he got tired, I let him go, and I just left the premises.
Hello?
Now they're going to contact.
His girlfriend? Whose girlfriend? She just passed out?
Yeah.
Strong?
Deputy's got there. He's out cold.
Can you start medical to our location for a male?
No, he's fine. I just couldn't open the door.
Consciousness, highly intox.
Hey, buddy. Hey, buddy.
Emergency. Narcan?
Hey, bro. He should be good.
Has he had anything other than alcohol tonight?
No, it's just been alcohol.
Let's go in here and sit down.
He only had one drink.
Oh, of course.
You got you. Hey,
very, very good.
Have you had anything other than alcohol tonight? Can you hear us? How's it going, man?
No. Stay seated. You're good, bro.
Well, bro, from our perspective, right, we come in here, you're, like, passed out on the bed, right? And so we pulled you out here because we just don't want you laying on your back, right?
Pick me, please.
Do what?
Please, just don't lay me down. I'm sick of my bed.
We're here because you got into a fight with somebody.
I didn't do anything. Let me. Please. Look, I don't have nothing to do with anything against your defense.
Okay. You're good. I don't
have anything against y'all.
Yeah,
I
we get it, bro.
Y'all.
Yeah, we get it. We get it.
Exactly.
We're going to have an ambulance come and look at your eye because you're hurt.
But please.
You're also drunk.
Please.
Okay.
I'm not doing anything wrong. I'm fucking some type of fucking influencer. Lock me up. I promise you, I'm not no type of bad person. And I promise you, I fucking promise you, with all my fucking life, I'm a good person.
Same person.
Wow.
Yes.
Like Dr. Light, Jekyll, like, Mr. Hyde.
Like a light switch.
Jeez, I thought that was a totally different person coming in
there. That's the same guy.
That's the same guy.
Is that crazy?
In an instant.
And this went on for quite a while.
Holy cow.
Yeah, so, you know, they found him, they found him passed out. They woke him up because they were, and requested medical, an ambulance to the scene, firefighters.
Yeah.
Because they didn't know what was wrong with him. I mean, he was out, and so they were able to wake him up. They explained to him they were trying to move him into, like, a safety position so he wouldn't choke or vomit or choke on his own vomit.
Right.
And he started out, you know, as you saw, all weepy and crying.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden he wants to now fight the deputies.
Oh my God. So, it totally sounded like somebody else came into the room. It did not sound like the same person at all.
It sounded like someone else came into the room. Yeah. I even, when I first heard it, like rewound the,
right?
the audio and went, wait a minute. And I'm like, oh my God, it's the same guy. This is what his friend experienced when he said, my friend was calling me different names. He was, you know, sucker punching me. He didn't know who I was. And now all of a sudden, he wants to fight the cops.
Wow.
One minute he's telling them that he has a lot of respect for him. Next minute he's like, he wants to fight them.
How bizarre.
He ended up getting transported to the hospital due to his level of intoxication. Needless to say, he became uncooperative and violent at the hospital. Yeah. And so he was eventually issued, he was eventually arrested for assault. And then he ended up having to stay at the hospital because under observation because of his level of intoxication.
Yeah.
But boy. But he only had one drink.
Just one. Didn't do nothing.
And no one ever does drugs,
no,
too.
No, never.
You think you would just, for your own sake and health, you'd say, yes, I took whatever it is.
Right.
You know what I mean? I took a bottle of Xanax.
I'm out of my mind.
Oh, my God. And then I ate some shrooms. And then I smoked some weed.
And drank a pint of Jack.
I'm out of my mind.
Craziness.
Craziness.
That'll lead to jail.
Yes.
Search and rescue. A juvenile hiker set out from Loveland Pass with plans to summit Grizzly Peak. Along the route, he decided to extend his hike significantly and continued on to summit Torrey's Peak. And on his way back from Torrey's, his micro spikes broke, leaving him unable to navigate the icy sections of the route. And using his emergency gear, he was able to call for help. Winter hiking on 14ers, man, that's above and beyond anything I want to try. But there are people, obviously, that have that desire.
You know, and it seems like we're running into more and more kids that are doing this stuff, which is even more weird. Just strange. I mean, you know this terrain. This is really steep, rocky.
It's difficult
dangerous.
In the summertime.
In the summertime, it is difficult to do what this kid wanted to do. When this call came out, I happened to be, it was late at night. I happened to be at home, and I knew that they had requested a helicopter. And all of a sudden, my house starts shaking like the helicopter's going by. You know what I mean? And I'm like, this was literally within minutes. I'm like, there's no way that they just requested this helicopter. And I'm thinking, why would a helicopter be coming flying down the valley anyways? Later to find out that it was, in fact, the rescue helicopter. And it was coming back from another rescue in Rout County just north of us. And they just rerouted this way. And for, you know, luckily for this kid, especially, because it was one of those cold, snowy nights. Luckily for this kid, that helicopter was that close and was able to pluck him off that peak in the middle of the night. And we were able to reunite this kid with his father. You know, no harm, no foul. Yeah. Thank God the kid called 911. But, yeah. I mean, I had the same reaction you did. Like, are you kidding me? You're doing this in the middle of winter?
Sure.
This is crazy.
Wow.
And not taking extra gear, right, with you. Like, his spikes broke, and you're like, okay, my spikes broke. Now what am I going to do? It takes a lot to break those micro spikes, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're not easy to break. That's the terrain.
Well, thankfully, this hiker got out safe.
Thank God he got out safe. No injuries, no frostbite. Really, really lucky there was a helicopter nearby.
If I heard a helicopter flying overhead, I'd be thinking, oh, my ride's here. They weren't there to pick you up. I just kept on going.
I'd have flashbacks in the inner city.
Right? Scary.
Oh.
There's a hit-and-run DUI incident. Dispatch reported a hit-and-run incident over the countywide law enforcement radio channel. And a nearby deputy quickly located the vehicle, which was observed changing lanes in a roundabout without signaling. And when questioned about the accident, the driver pointed to the passenger and claimed that she had been driving at the time.
You can't make this stuff up, Tom.
And we have audio on this incident. Oh, boy, oh, boy.
Is there a reason that you're shirtless and she's barely got a shirt on?
We're just hanging out at the club. Just hanging out, having fun. That's all we do.
Okay.
If you know you hit the car, why didn't you guys stop and wait? You're driving it now, so...
Yeah, I know. It's my fault now.
No, I'm saying, why didn't you guys just stop and wait and exchange information with the people?
It's bad now. It's really bad.
Well, leaving the scene never makes it better.
No, it don't. I know, trust me.
Yeah. Well, he said that she hit it, so.
Okay.
So she was the driver.
And then you guys walked?
She did it.
We went back, and I was just like, you know, like.
She didn't expect that on their date, I bet.
So if she hit it and you guys swapped and you guys went back, why didn't you guys just stop and talk?
That was on her. It wasn't me.
Myself in 24-10-4. Alright, would you mind just hopping out and talking to me back at my car?
Sure.
So how much have you had to drink tonight?
Maybe like one or two.
One or two?
Oh, one or
not much.
One or two.
What were the
He drinks? Doesn't sound hammered at all.
What were the drinks?
Just beers.
Just beers? Just like standard 12-ounce or like tall boys?
12-ounce.
Okay. If you had to rate on a scale from 0 to 10, with 0 being sober and 10 being blackout drunk, where would you put yourself right now?
Come on, guess.
Like, two.
A two?
So, I mean, I don't know what you guys want to do.
Yeah. Unfortunately, man, you are driving, so you are under arrest at this time.
Okay. 24, copy.
I'm getting charged for all this.
So
you're getting charged for DUI at this point.
My fourth one.
This is your fourth one?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's your fourth one, dude. I mean, have you not learned your lesson after three? Huh?
It was her fault. She was driving. It wasn't me. I didn't do nothing.
Can you imagine? I don't know if you were on the beginning of that, but when they walked up, both of them were like half dressed.
Yeah.
And they're both just hammered. Later, after the guy was arrested, they found a bunch of pills on him too.
Oh.
Yeah. So I mean, I wish we had the. If this wasn't a podcast and we had video, we could show the body cam of the girl, the look on the girl's face when he goes, she did it.
I can imagine that would have been a priceless look.
So wait a minute. You guys switched seats. She did it and then jumped in the passenger seat. So needless to say, he got arrested DUI, taken to jail. And she got turned over to a sober party to make sure that she was safe for the night. But I wonder if they'll go out again. Probably.
Probably, yeah.
Because that's the way it...
And they'll reminisce about that time.
Love at first sight. Yeah.
So when you find random pills on somebody, what's the process? Where do you take those for testing?
Yeah,
what
do you do? A couple things. Either they're very recognizable.
Okay.
You know, like... drugs we come across all the time in the street, or we can now you can jump on the internet and look you can put the description of the pill and look it up, or you can always test it for what you think it is and see how that test comes back. So there's lots of ways, but it's really easy. What we got to be careful of is that, you know, if it's a fraudulent pill and there's fentanyl on it, then there's a problem. So we're really careful when we come across anyone with any kind of pills, because in today's world, especially if it's not in a prescription bottle, if it's not a legit prescription, I mean, you immediately suspect there's probably fentanyl in it. So you handle it really carefully.
So, and then what is the testing protocol?
We have ways to test to see if fentanyl is present in the pill.
Okay.
So it'll test positive for fentanyl and then negative for anything else, because the fraudulent pills don't have anything else. They're all made with fillers. They're just made to look like the real pill. Hmm. But occasionally you'll come across, you know, the real deal, you know, someone that's selling a prescription of theirs. Yeah. But it's really easy to identify the pills on the internet.
Let's talk about this assault where there was a woman out skiing with her dog on leash in unincorporated Breckenridge. She reported that she came across a couple with an unleashed dog who approached her and her dog in what she perceived to be an unfriendly manner. She used her ski pole in an attempt to keep the dog separated, and when they got closer, the man hit the woman with his ski pole, breaking his pole, and told her not to hit his dog again.
Yeah, you know, unfortunately, when there's a witness to this, it doesn't work when you don't tell the truth. You know, right. You know, this is again another dog story, right? People with one of the sets of dogs off leash. So the guy did admit to you know, the dogs attacking each other and him hitting. He said he didn't hit the woman. He went to go hit the dog, but it was the witness that said, "No, I saw the whole thing. He clobbered that woman with the skull.
He said broke his
and broke it." So, needless to say, he was issued a summons for assault. It'll ultimately settle in court, and the woman denied needing any medical attention. She said she wasn't hurt any worse than a broken pole. But
well, that's good.
Yeah. Oh boy, another dog story.
The fun we have in the mountains with our pets. We love our pets dearly, but yeah, you gotta leash them. Kind of a law around here.
Yeah, his story was that he slipped and fell, and when he fell, the pole hit the ground and snapped.
Oh, okay.
And he didn't account for it. He didn't know that there was a witness watching the whole thing going, you know, I actually saw you clobber her with that ski pole to the point of breaking it. It's not easy to break a ski pole.
No, it isn't. Not at all.
Holy moly.
Especially when you're hitting somebody with it. Oh, man. It takes a little bit of force. There's a welfare check. A member of the cleaning crew in the county building reported finding a young girl in the library after hours. The girl told her that she was waiting for her mom to pick her up. The cleaner told deputies that the door to the library was locked, and she didn't know how the girl had gotten there. And we have some audio on this incident as well.
Hi, I'm cleaning the Commons building in Frisco. And so at 5, I had my girls arrive there. So the library is closed since it's Sunday, but there was a little girl in there, around 11 or 12 years old.
The ghost told her that the library was closed and how she got in. She said through the door. She said she went in through the doors, but the doors were locked. They mentioned to her that, well, the library was closed. And she said that her mom would pick her up later. But the weird thing is that she just, like, disappeared. Not that, like, we didn't, no one saw when she got picked up. And we were just kind of, like, iffy if she really left the building, or maybe if she could have hidden in there, or if she was really picked up. So I know the sheriffs are downstairs, but there wasn't any at that time. And I would have called sooner, but they just told me after they left cleaning. They were kind of like, if the little girl really left.
Okay, we're going to get this out to the officers. No one with your crew is still on scene?
Correct, they're all gone.
Okay, well, thanks for calling it in.
And the lights are sensors, like sensor lights, and everything was turned off. So just FYI, if the library is turned on, they're really hard to turn off and on. So just if they're on, then there's movement inside the library. But they are 100% sure they turned the lights off.
Wow, scary. Finding a little girl in the library.
Pretty spooky.
Yeah, it is.
We're still looking for the UFO that may have abducted her. No, what's interesting is that, you know, everything she says is true. I mean, you know, the light sensors, you know, like any room that has a light sensor, do the lights go on if there's activity in the room, and they go off if there isn't. And the room was dark, but there was a delay. If you heard when she said, "I'm sorry, I'm just getting around to calling now. They just told me." So they kept cleaning.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and when they were done cleaning the entire library, which probably took them quite a while.
Yeah.
That's when they called their boss and said, "Hey, something really weird happened when we were here. There was this little girl here." So there was quite a delay. So we're hoping. I mean, obviously, we looked everywhere, not only in the library, but the entire building and the general area outside. There was no sign of this person, but just to be clear, there was quite a delay between the cleaners actually telling their boss and then their boss calling 911.
So mom actually came and got her, as far as we know.
As far as we know. I mean, it just, the whole thing sounds strange. I mean, it's not out of the question that the building wasn't locked. I mean, we do security checks on county buildings all the time and find them unlocked. So, and people living inside the county
building. It's always
taking up residency.
Always something wonderful to find.
They figure it's a Saturday. No one will be back till Monday.
Yeah,
I'm good.
I'll just chill here. I don't have to pay for a hotel today.
No. Jeez. But no one was reported missing. We didn't find anyone.
Okay.
No one has since been reported missing.
That's good.
And that makes me feel good.
Yeah, it could have been a scary situation.
Could have been a really scary situation.
We have a violation of a restraining order. A woman reported an argument with her ex-boyfriend after she refused to let him borrow her car. She claimed that he threatened to damage the vehicle, making it undrivable if she did not allow him to take it. And on the following morning, she discovered that her car was indeed damaged, as he had threatened.
He made good
through
on his promise.
Yeah, he did.
Huh.
Well, how about that?
Yeah, but, you know, as always these things turn out, you know, when the deputies investigated this incident, they did find the guy. It turns out there's a restraining order in place.
Uh-huh.
So he's violated the restraining order. Not only that, but they discovered a couple warrants out for his arrest. This is a stand-up guy.
Just keeps getting better.
Yeah. And they actually were able to substantiate the claims that he did damage her car. So he went to jail on a number of charges. But it's just, you know, it's crazy that people draw attention to themselves, that they think like they're not going to get caught, and like most criminals, and then it turns out that there's more skeletons in the closet than you suspect.
Surprise, surprise, surprise.
But she loved him.
I'm sure she did, for a while anyway.
Well, he loved her.
Yeah. Enough to damage the car. This next incident is about an intoxicated adult. Deputies responded to a residence just outside of Breckenridge after the occupants reported an intoxicated man knocking at their door asking for a ride to Frisco.
911, what's the address of the emergency? Is that a single family home?
It's a duplex.
Okay, tell me exactly what happened.
I got a drunk guy knocking on my door. He's not trying to break in, but he's drunk and he doesn't know what he's doing.
Is anyone injured?
No, he didn't come in the house.
Okay.
It looks like he's now not on my front porch, so he's probably walking down the street.
Was he aggressive?
No, he's just drunk and he thinks he's trying to get to Frisco or something.
Sounds irritated.
Oh, if I only had a nickel for every one of these, right? People would just come here and just get... I mean,
wasted. They forget where they are. And
that's what's crazy, right? Getting so wasted that you have no idea where you are. You have no idea where your friends are that you were with.
And you don't know how to get there.
And, and you're not from here. So you don't know. You can't say, yeah, I live at 123 Main Street. Can, you know what I mean? Deputies found this guy. Luckily, they did. He was severely intoxicated. The deputies also ended up finding his friends and finding where his friends were and were able to take him to his friends to release him to his sober friends. Imagine why, no wonder why they separated from him.
We don't want this guy around.
The friends left him.
Yeah.
But no, they took him back in and he was safe for the night and the deputies ensured that. So, but can you imagine? I mean, this is always, of course, it's always in the middle of the night because it's usually when the bar's closed and they've got thrown out and now they're wandering the streets and they just start knocking on doors. I mean, they're lucky that they come across people that are generally good people, right?
Right.
Because I mean, it could end really badly, you pounding on someone's door in the middle of the night.
Never a good thing. Next item is a DUI. Deputy on routine traffic patrol observed a vehicle that was drifting over the center lane of the highway, then swerving back in their lane of traffic several times before initiating the traffic stop with the driver. What happened here?
Oh, you know, as the deputies were walking up on this car, the note was that they noticed, in the report, it was they noticed fresh vomit dripping down the driver's door. I mean, I know this is a podcast, but surely you get the video. Who has not seen?
That's one of those, I'm sorry, I don't want to see the video. Thank you. No, that's my gag reflex.
You know, and clearly this guy was super, and this guy's driving a car.
Yeah.
Super intoxicated. You know, did the thing, fumbling for everything, dropping everything. Of course, denied having anything to drink.
Of
yet
course.
There's an empty bottle of booze sitting there right there right on the side of his seat.
Here's my friends.
Oh my gosh. You got to love it. Completely denied having any drinks with an empty bottle next to him.
And totally
and
trashed.
The puke. And the vomit dripping down. He obviously was placed under arrest and for DUI and taken to jail and his car hose down and then impound. No.
The deputies have to hose themselves off after that?
Hey, I mean,
there's like a hazmat incident or something.
I'm telling you, sometimes these people will just let go inside of the car, and you do have to clean it up.
Yeah.
Or you take it by the shelter and let one of the dogs out to lick it all up.
Really? Come on.
That was a joke for any of our listeners. This is the levity part we talk about.
Yes,
it's the levity part.
It's the joke part. The bad humor part that we're guilty of.
Who has not seen a dog lick up vomit?
I know.
And just love it, right? Like stew.
What a great image you've implanted in our minds.
Can't unsee that.
Let's talk about this assault. Deputies responded to an apartment building in Dillon Valley after receiving a call for help from roommates who reported that one of their housemates and a friend were threatening another roommate with knives over a disagreement. The two intoxicated individuals attempted to lure the targeted roommate out of the apartment for a fight, prompting the other roommates to barricade the door and wait for assistance to arrive. And I'm guessing they called 911.
Yeah, they called 911. The two suspects had fled the scene before the deputies arrived. Luckily,
we were able to find them. And they were both arrested and taken to the jail for, you know, for the both fighting and felony menacing with the knives. I mean, it was the real deal. I mean, sometimes we talk about this. Sometimes the call you're dispatched to isn't the call you're going to, and sometimes it really is the call.
Yeah.
You know, a knife fight can be a really scary thing. And so, luckily, no one got hurt during this altercation, and the bad guys went to jail.
Charges are pending. A welfare check. There is an employer who requested a welfare check on an employee after receiving a third-hand report that the employee was dying. The report included a cryptic message to the manager suggesting a potentially serious situation.
Yeah, so deputies responded. You know, we treat everything like it's real. We did find this individual, and they were extremely ill. They weren't dying, but, you know, when you hear someone say that they're dying, you, in a cop's mind, you really take it literally, think, oh yeah, my God, maybe there's... it just turned out that the person was extremely ill. We called for an ambulance, took this guy to the hospital, and as far as I know, he's hopefully better by now. But that's all it was, someone that was extremely ill, but good on the person that called.
Yeah.
But we take that dying quite literally sometimes when we're responding, or at least we're considering that.
Right.
Yeah, to a call.
Yeah, so it's a whole different thing when you talk about dying to law enforcement. It's like, as opposed to, I'm dying over here.
Yes. Yeah, I died laughing.
Right. Yeah. It's a whole different thing with law enforcement. Let's talk about a harassment issue. A man matched with a woman on Tinder without any expectations of a serious relationship. He made this clear to the woman, who was unhappy with his stance but still agreed to meet. After one date, they went their separate ways. Who got harassed on this one?
The guy did.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So a month later, right? Like, he made it clear, like, yeah, I don't think this is going to work. First, sure, they match.
Yeah.
A month later, apparently they're both still on the app, and they match again.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes. And they decided that, let's give it another shot. Let's, maybe the second time is a charm. And after a couple dates, the woman asked to go home with the guy, and the guy declined, thinking kind of weird again. And the woman was upset, so she started just messaging him and stalking him relentlessly. And when we came, it was like, it was something like 50 times over the course of, you know,
wow,
over the course of a few hours, and then leaving, but not only just messaging, but leaving angry voicemails and emails. When we found her and we questioned her about it, she explained that she was interested in becoming a couple, and that's why she was so persistent in contact.
God. Well, isn't that the whole premise behind Tinder? The app is a hookup app, right?
Yes.
I mean, that's for intentionally hooking
up.
And the dude says, I don't think so.
Yeah,
but still stayed in touch. Kept it going.
Stayed on the app.
Yeah.
And so I guess the second time when they matched, instead of him just swiping left, or I don't know which way, swipe left, right, whatever way you swipe, they decided to try it again.
Oh, my.
And then when he refused to take her home, she got mad and started harassing him. And she told the cops, well, I only did it because I really thought we had a connection. It's like, the guy made it clear to you, like, he didn't want anything to do with you.
Some people just don't get the message.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Let's talk about this fight and a DUI. Deputies received a report of two intoxicated men fighting for approximately 10 minutes between apartment buildings in Dillon Valley. A local police officer arrived first on scene and detained one of the men while the other fled on foot. Another individual attempted to leave in a vehicle but was stopped by another officer. Wow.
Yes.
What a fun time these guys were having, huh?
So what's funny is that the guy that ran that had nothing to do with this. I mean, the one guy got arrested for DUI. The two that were fighting, one ran, and there was another guy watching that ran. The cops found all of them. The guy that ran that had nothing to do with this fight, he was running because he had warrants out for his arrest.
Really? Good reason to run, I guess.
Oh, my gosh. And then the other... The other man that was also detained, that was fighting, also had warrants out for his arrest.
And so they all went to jail.
Jeez.
It had to be separated, of course, because we didn't want another flight to continue in jail.
Yeah, that would have been interesting. Put them in the same cell. Let's see what happens next.
Two guys are fighting. One's drunk.
Oh, boy.
One guy's watching. They all run, and they all have warrants out for arrest.
They all got busted.
Oh, my God.
There was a false reporting incident. A juvenile driver reported a hit and run while he was skiing and left his vehicle parked at Copper Mountain. However, when a deputy arrived to assess the situation, the damage to the vehicle did not match the driver's initial report.
Yeah, you know, more kid crap, right?
Yeah.
So when the kid calls and reports this accident, the deputy shows up and he's listening to the kid, and the deputy's like, yeah, this is not making sense. And the kid ends up, you know, confessing to the deputy, saying, okay, earlier before I got here... Earlier, on my way to Copper to go skiing, I got in an accident.
Oopsie.
And me and the other guy looked at the cars and decided that no harm, no foul, no damage. We'll just go our own ways, never exchange information, nothing. I think it's one of those things where you're just so embarrassed about what happened, you didn't really look if there was damage. So when the kid came back from skiing, he went, holy shit.
It's really damaged.
It's really bad. And it's his parents' car, of course.
Of course.
So... in order not, now I can relate to this story. In order not to get in trouble by his dad, he decided that he was going to call the police and lie that it was a hit and run accident. And you know what I mean? I don't know
how they got here. It's a mystery to me.
I remember as a kid, me and my friends getting caught by the Los Angeles Police Department and begging them not to take us home. You
know? Don't call my dad.
Please, I would rather go to jail.
I'll go to jail. Exactly.
Don't call my dad. So I mean, I can relate to it, but the kid ended up copping out to it, and the deputy called the kid's parents and helped soften the news to them. But can you imagine the kid's like, oh my God.
How much more trouble can he get into?
Oh my God. Jeez.
There was a suspicious incident where a resident reported a man that he encountered wandering around the building asking for water. And later the man approached the resident's sliding glass door and opened his jacket as if to display a gun. However, the resident did not see a gun or any other weapons, but reported that he was acting strangely.
Yeah, this is just another wandering, intoxicated person that couldn't find where he lived, didn't have a gun. It scares the crap out of people.
Absolutely.
Especially when someone walks up to the sliding glass door, like the Old West, opens up their coat and they think, oh my God, you know, and your mind says it must be a gun. That's why he's doing this. That's what they do in the movies.
Right.
You open your coat and you show them, like, I got a gun here.
Uh-huh.
But no, the guy did not have a gun. He was highly intoxicated. He did live in the area there. Deputies found out where his family unit was and turned him over to his family. So all's well that ends well.
Just a little scare in the middle of the night.
Yeah, you know, I'm surprised when people open their door in the middle of the night. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If someone comes pounding on my door in the middle of the night,
you're not going to get that open door.
Open
no.
The door.
Not at all. I'm not going to be near that door.
I'm always surprised. Like, wow, who opens their door in the middle of the night for someone you're not expecting?
Yeah. Well, especially after bar time.
Yeah, you should just go, it's after 2.
Yeah, it's 2. No, don't answer that.
Don't answer the door.
Don't answer the door.
Oh.
Well, that's a wrap. For this week's Summit County Justice Files, I'm Tom Fricke from Crystal 93, here with Summit County Sheriff Jamie Fitzsimons. And remember, knowledge is power. And a little laughter along the way doesn't hurt either.
That's why we laugh so much.
Yeah.
And just so we're clear, our coverage doesn't include every crime. We leave out the most serious and sensitive cases, and all suspects are presumed innocent until proven guilty in a court of law. With that said, stay safe, stay informed, and if you're thinking about committing a crime, well, remember, it never ends well, and you might just end up as our next feature.
You can also read the Justice Files on the Summit County Sheriff's Office website. That web address is summitsheriffcolorado.gov. Until next time, this is the Justice Files, where law meets laughs, and justice always has the final say. As always, Summit County Sheriff Jamie Fitzsimons, thank you for your service.
Thank you, Tom.